when Andrew Hammond backstopped the Ottawa Senators to that incredible run from the middle of nowhere to a playoff spot, was all summed up and put together a big bow on it with a Game 82 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. You tweeted out his numbers again this morning, Simmer. His numbers that season are incredible.
Well, what makes it more incredible, we see goaltenders or players go on hot streaks, but when you talk about a guy who never played in the National Hockey League previously to go 21-2 in 24 starts, 941 save percentage, 179 goals against, and I know injury's a factor, but also seeing what he did after the fact, to me it is one of the most incredible sports run in history, because as I said, when you look at the body work before and after, just incredible.
Yeah, Pierre McGuire, of course, was doing games for NBC back then. Don't know that the Ottawa Senators were on any of the NBC games, but certainly I'm sure, well, at the time we talked lots about it with Pierre, and a keen observer of that moment in time. And Pierre, as always, joins us on this Thursday morning. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Well, JR, good morning. Hello, Sean.
Morning, Pierre.
When you think, Pierre, about unlikely stories and storylines, that two-month run that Andrew Hammond put together 5 years ago, what memories of that do you have?
Oh, tons. With the fans littering the ice with the McDonald's hamburgers, I thought that was good, obviously, fun. It was an amazing season for Ottawa. They went through a lot of turbulence, I should say, over that time, and the thing that stood out the most was he came in there and he's just so unflappable. It was amazing. I want to say, and I think I'm right on this, he didn't have, I think, what did he have, one regulation loss in all the regular season games he played that year? But it was in his first game, I believe. And then the rest of the time, he was just playing out of his mind good.
Yeah, it is incredible. 21-2 in 24 starts.
Yeah. Any other sort of, and we'll keep it to goaltenders. Anybody else got on a run that you can remember in the last, I don't know, 30 years that was anything close to that?
Boy, you mean you're talking about a guy that had no previous experience?
Exactly. Right.
You'd have to, I think, go back to the 80s.
Are we going Steve Pinney? And what about Binnington last year would be a sample size?
I guess Binnington would be one, but I was thinking Steve Pinney.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, Binnington, yes, for sure. That's more than fair, but they didn't get on a run like that. They got on a good run, but not like that. That run, you go 21-4, that's, you know, who does that? Just elite goalies don't do that. Right. That's amazing what he was able to do. I do remember this, Darren. You and Sean would have to look it up, but I think I'm right on this. The Buffalo Sabres were the only previous team, I believe, and that was in 95-96. You'd have to look that up, but I think 95-96 that were double digits out at the All-Star break that made the playoffs. Ottawa was the next team to do it, and that was in, you know, 2014-2015?
Yeah.
So there you go. I believe that's correct. So not a lot of teams that are double digits out at the playoffs, or I'm sorry, at the All-Star break and make the playoffs.
And we're talking Dominic Hasek goaltending.
Yeah, exactly. That's where
Hasek
I'm going
and at. Hammond.
Yeah, Andrew Hammond, for those that aren't aware, is still playing pro hockey.
Played with Rochester
this year. And I think he got called up to back up a game in Buffalo, but played in the minors the entire year this year. So this will kind of dovetail into a discussion I wanted to have with you yesterday, but we never got around to it, so we'll get to it today, which is where the goaltending is going to be going forward around the NHL in this offseason. Whenever we get to an offseason, by the time next year rolls around, and I think that the biggest name on the list, this is UFAs we're talking about, is Braden Holtby of the Washington Capitals. They've got Samsonov that has come in on a rookie contract, cheap, put up good numbers. But Holtby is the guy that won the Stanley Cup for them a couple of years ago. So best guess, is Braden Holtby, do you think, back with the Washington Capitals next year, or do you think they're going to move on from him?
The people that I've talked to internally still want to try to keep Braden. It comes down to, obviously, dollars and cents in term, but I've talked to a bunch of their people internally, and they seem like they, you know, have an interest in trying to do something to keep him as a member of the Washington Capitals. But we'll see. I mean, it comes down to two parties getting together and trying to get a deal done.
Would that not be a mistake after giving Backstrom, which is to me an overpay on both dollars and term, to then go down nostalgic lane with Holtby when you can see the Tampa Bay model working so well? Where they let go of Bishop?
Fair point, but other teams have done that. As you know, you can go back to the New York Islanders in the 1980s and you see what that did to their team over a pure decade. You can look at the Chicago Blackhawks after winning three Stanley Cups in 5 years and look what it did with their group. Teams do it. They, you know, their heartstrings get pulled because of the emotion of winning and winning with consistency. And the Capitals have been a tremendous franchise for a long time. I know they only have one Stanley Cup, but they've been a tremendous franchise. It might be a mistake. The reason why I think they went with Backstrom more than anything else is because the chemistry and the relationship that he has with Ovechkin. And that's something that can't be discounted there. They still think that there's a lot of mojo there. And I would agree with them on that, by the way. I think there is a lot of mojo there with Backstrom and Ovechkin. And it kind of keeps their slotting in a good order. Eventually, Kuznetsov passes Backstrom, and you still have Lars Eller in the three hole and Nick Dowd in the four hole. So, I mean, there's a lot there that I understand where Sean's coming from, but I also know that in Washington's eyes, they feel that they still got some life left in the team that they have, and Holtby's a part of that.
If they decide to move on, or if he decides to move on, you look at teams that potentially have a hole as far as for a number one goalie next year. I keep coming back to the Chicago Blackhawks. Corey Crawford is a UFA at the end of this year. They've already moved Robin Leonard to Vegas at the trade deadline. They seem to be a team, Pierre, that wants to, as long as they can, try. You know, they got Toews and Kane still. They're just trying to, and Keith, they're trying to hold on as long as they can and take maybe one last run. Do you look at them as and I haven't looked at the cap space to even know if it would work or not.
They're going to have a tough time with cap space.
Yeah, if they can somehow make it work, I mean, is that a potential landing spot?
Yeah, it could be, but I think the cap space is a major issue. It's one of the reasons why I think they didn't do a deal with Robin Leonard and moved them along. I think maybe they think internally they can do a one-year deal on Corey Crawford or maybe a two-year deal. I don't know, but no, it's not going to be easy for Chicago. You got to look at the money that Kane and Toews are both making, and especially if the cap shrinks, which, you know, probably it will now, they're going to have some major cap issues there. You know, you got to remember Seabrook still signed, Duncan Keith still signed. They got a lot of money that's heading out the door in a hurry there. So it's not going to be easy. I don't think Holtby and Chicago, it makes sense on paper, but I don't know if it makes sense financially.
Yeah.
Would the most obvious be the Edmonton Oilers, a free player, and finally stabilize that position?
That's the team that I was thinking of, Sean, in Edmonton. But again, Kenny Holland, what he thinks and what we think are two totally different things, but may not match up. But I think there is a potential match there if Washington can't get Holtby signed.
Yeah, Western Canadian boy as well, right? So that makes sense. Speaking of Western Canada, Jakob Markstrom has had an unbelievable year for Vancouver.
He needs a contract.
Exactly. He's a UFA at the end of this year. And they've got Thatcher Demko, and you're a big fan of his, and he's just starting to come into his own. But, Vancouver, and who knows if we're coming back to play this year or not, but the pressure in the organization on Jim Benning from ownership was you've got to make the playoffs this year. So presumably that doesn't change, let's say, for next season. Do you think at the end of the day they're gonna want to get something done with Markstrom? Or do you think at this point it's like if it's too rich, we'll roll with the with Demko?
I think if it's too rich, they'll roll with Demko. But I also know I talked to Jakob Markstrom at the All-Star game in St. Louis, and I asked him about his contract. He said, I'm not worried about it. It's going to take care of itself. And if I play well, I'm going to get paid. And if I don't play well, then I'm going to have an issue. And he was very confident about his abilities, and he wasn't saying it in a derogatory or condescending way. He just says, you know what, I trust myself. I'm going to go out there and play the best that I can, and then the contract will take care of itself. I thought it was a really good answer. Would he like to stay in Vancouver? I think he would. I really do. But will he be able to? Depends on, what they want to spend on a goalie. But I do think Thatcher Demko eventually will be somebody that everybody in Vancouver will be really happy with.
Just my opinion, but I'd be shocked if we don't see at least a 25% reduction in the salary cap for the following year. So down to 60. Well, obviously there's going to be a squeeze on free agents. Do you think we'll see some of these goaltenders or other players, Pierre, take one-year contracts, knowing that there'll be better times ahead?
It's such a well-said thing by you, Sean, and I agree. That's why I talked about Corey Crawford. Potentially he takes a one-year deal at, a little bit of a hometown discount. Maybe it goes to two, but I do think the cap has the potential to drop by 25 to 30%. And I don't think I'm the only person that feels that way. So, it's going to be tough times all around. It'll be interesting what the league and the PA, negotiate on that, but we'll see. We'll just see what the numbers are when this is all done.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it's a giant wild card. Do you think it's a possibility that they've got rules now on buyouts with buyout windows just to make it all work? Might that be one of the things just to make it a little bit easier for teams that they may tweak the rules on? Right now, it's you buy a guy out for 2/3 and he gets you can use it for double the amount of time left on his contract. Mm-hmm. That they may be able, extend it out even further to kind of, because for some of these teams, Pierre, it's going to be impossible
Correct.
Yeah, they've already committed more than, if it's going to be $60 million, they've got more than $60 million already committed.
That's why I talked about the situation in Chicago. They're going to have major cap issues. There are a lot of other teams that are going to have major cap issues too. So the answer is yes, I do think there'll be. And that's, we've talked about this right from the start, the three of us. The fact that the NHLPA and the NHL are talking on a daily basis and trying to come up with really creative ideas to very difficult problems, that is a good thing, not a bad thing. And the reason why it's a good thing is the more communication they have, it's easier to negotiate because there's more trust built up. And I do believe, based on some of the conversations I've had with different people on both sides, there has been more trust built up, which is a positive thing, not a negative thing.
Yeah, I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, so signing bonuses that are due July 1st for Tavares, to Marner, to Matthews. Imagine that money out the door, Pierre. And do you think, I don't think we'll see a rollback in salaries like we saw. Well, an escrow, I guess, is that.
Yep.
But do you think the way they'd handle the salary cap hits, they might get creative, understanding that, hey, if a player is only going to get 75 cents on the dollar, I'm not going to tax the team in the salary cap situation 100% of the contract?
Interesting. I think there's some merit to that, for sure. I do think there's some merit to that, for sure.
Because it would be a little strange. I mean, the salary cap to me is a bit of BS with the way it's all paid up front in Toronto. But if I know the players, in essence, are going to be rolled back to that amount, I would think some of the bigger teams and more powerful teams would have the ability. Like Toronto right now would not be able to dress a team.
No, well, they were in salary. We talked about this when you first started with us last year. We talked about the fact that Toronto was going in salary cap purgatory. That's the line that I used, and you know, they still are, whether we have a rollback or not. They're going to be in trouble. They were in trouble going into this offseason, whether you want to believe it or not, they were. And so, yeah, no, it's not going to be easy, for sure. Very difficult.
Some other goalies that will be free agents, as you guys have mentioned, maybe it's a one-year contract. But do you see a guy like Jimmy Howard? Like we saw when there was no hockey for a full year back in 05, some guys just that were close to the end of their career maybe could have played for another year or two longer. They just never came back to the game. No. Do you look at guys, Jimmy Howard is, what, 35, 36, you know, still can play decently well. Are those the types of players, though, that we just may never see play hockey again?
It's been a very difficult year for everybody in Detroit, and in particular for Jimmy. Obviously, I feel bad for him. I've known Jimmy a long time. Big fan, really good person, Well, I don't know how to say it, but unless the conditioning levels improve for Jimmy, I just can't see how this goes much longer for him. The one thing I would say, to be fair, there's a lot of respect from Kenny Holland to Jimmy Howard. Kenny Holland really likes Jimmy Howard a lot, likes him a ton. And as a person, and I believe as a player, but again, I think they'd probably be looking down a different path to get a goaltender. Jimmy's had an amazing career when you think about, you know, where it started and where it's gone to. It's been a fantastic run. He's part of the same draft class as Corey Crawford. Both of them were part of the 03 draft class.
Somebody else that's kind of in that mix of that same age group is Mike Smith in Edmonton, who's had, you know, it's been kind of good and bad with Mike Smith. You never know. Maybe that's been the whole story of his career, right? When he's hot, he's super hot. When he's not, it's kind of like, well, he's not that good, quite frankly. Again, do you put him in the same camp as Jimmy Howard?
Yeah, I think Mike's always felt that way, though. The biggest thing with Mike is, you know, he's been doing it. I mean, he's been doing it a long time. I think he's a couple years older than Jimmy and Corey. That's the one thing that stood out about him is just his ability to go out and play a puck, and obviously that's helped him a lot over the course of his career. But there's always been a consistency situation with him. You know, some years he's been very, very good and very consistent, and other years not nearly as consistent, and that's one of the knocks against him. But, yeah, he'd be one of those guys that would be in that boat for sure.
Nobody works or tries harder. I think he'd be a great backup for a young goaltender. I have to think that Robin Leonard, first of all, might blow a gasket if he takes another one-year contract.
Right.
He's got to just be praying that one of these seats stays hot in Detroit or Edmonton and he can finally cash in, because it also feels like, is there another guy that might end up getting squeezed?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a very fair point. Again, there's no way to predict it, but he is one of the guys that a lot of people will be paying attention to in terms of what happens with his contract.
All right. Yesterday we had a conversation with Brad Berry, Pierre, the head coach of the University of North Dakota. Of course, they had, what was then, we thought, 3 cents prospects in the pool. But some news just breaking this morning while we're talking to you is that kind of the, we'll call him the third wheel. Johnny Tychonic was a second-round draft pick, a defenseman. just finished his sophomore season, has announced that he's going to be leaving the team, which is news to us because we talked to Brad Berry as late as yesterday and didn't necessarily hint that that was in the offing, but they're going to give him the opportunity to transfer out. He wants more ice time. They're not going to stop him, so that would allow him to transfer as soon as next year. I don't know how familiar you are with the player, but how difficult is the process of trying to find another team to play for when you've already got 2 years under your belt to playing NCAA
hockey? You go into a thing called the NCAA portal for transfers. You put your name in there, and then the teams start to reach out to you. There's a kid that's a really good basketball player at Dartmouth. It's a breaking story out of Dartmouth, and he put his name into the portal. And a lot of teams were going after him, believe it or not. And he decided yesterday to actually stay at Dartmouth and play his fifth year there rather than transfer, which is kind of interesting because more times than not, kids at Ivy League schools don't do that. But he was able to do that. So I found that interesting. And so the situation you're talking about now with this player in North Dakota, who's a Sens property, you just put your name in the portal. And I do think that'll be not a difficult thing for him to move on.
A couple of things there. First of all, obviously Ottawa doesn't think he can turn pro because that's your first phone call, right? And saying,
exactly.
Hey, let's get you out. Exactly. So they don't want that. Also, secondly, the fact that North Dakota allows a transfer will stop him, I believe, from sitting out a year.
And I
would think
that's why I talked about
interest in a defenseman at his age and his thing. I would think he'd have a lot of, unless there's some major issues behind the scenes, Pierre. I would think he'd have schools lining up.
Yeah, no, that won't be an issue. Now some schools will look at his transcript too and see whether he can do the work or not. That could be part. I don't know. I don't know what the academic standing is of the player, but the first thing you have to do is get your name into the NCAA portal, and then you move forward from there.
It's interesting only because the defenseman, the captain, Colton Pullman, signed with Calgary as a free agent, right?
Yep.
You've got Jacob Bernard Docker, who, again, our indication yesterday in talking to Brad Berry, it seemed like he's having conversations with him right now, and they're contemplating turning pro. I think the Sens would like to turn him pro after this year. So if the captain is gone, he's gone. There's Andrew Pesky is a senior. He's actually from the Ottawa area. So he'd be, in other words, it's a strange time to be transferring out when, you know, there's at least three, if not four, defensemen that are moving out of the program. But I don't know who the freshmen coming in as well.
Yeah, probably, that's the thing. You got to know what the recruiting class is. And I can tell you, I think I shared it with you yesterday before Coach Berry came on with you. I know of a player that's committed not to go this year but next year. Scotty Morrow, who's a kid from Shattuck St. Mary's who played with my son growing up here in Connecticut. So, and I think there's another kid from Connecticut that's actually heading to North Dakota this year as one of their recruits who's been playing in the USHL. So I think they've got some artillery coming. That's pretty good.
And again, also what I said, Pierre, does this also just point quite simply, maybe he's not a very good player? I mean, if you're transferring out your team that drafted you in the second round doesn't want to sign you as a 20-year-old, obviously the development path has not gone in the direction everyone thought.
Correct. I think that's more than fair. But I don't want to belittle the player because I think every kid, especially under the age of 22, deserves a chance to, you know, maybe things didn't go his way in one place, gets a chance to go somewhere else, and maybe it turns out the way he wants it to.
Yeah, talk to the Grand Forks Herald. Just said, I'm taking this with a pretty open mind. I have no team I want to go to yet. I'm going to listen to everyone's speech about their program. That's the only thing I'm going to do right now. Said he's sad but super excited about a new opportunity. So
that's good.
You go. Yep. All right. On that note, we'll let you go. Always appreciate the time. Look forward to a chat with you on a Friday morning tomorrow. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much, JR. Sean, take care of yourself. Everybody, please be safe there.